From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Emily Hayes. It's Thursday, June 9th. Coming up, a new mental health crisis line is set to go live across the country this July. Calls are expected to spike, and call centers are preparing. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Tonight, the U.S. House Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol will hold its first public hearing. Turn to IllinoisNewsroom.org at 7 p.m. tonight for live coverage. Illinois State Senator Sarah Feigenholz says she's optimistic about the future of the state's child welfare system. That's despite an investigation by Chicago Public Radio WBEZ showing the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services routinely leaves kids wrongly incarcerated in the Cook County Juvenile Jail. Patrick Smith has more.
Last year, more than 80 kids in the state's care spent time locked up after a judge ordered their release. They were waiting for DCFS to find placement for them.
When these children are in the custody of the state, these are our kids.
Senator Feigenholz says the problem of kids being left in jail is partially because of a 2015 decision to cut 500 residential beds.
But we're rebuilding, and we're going to get this. We're committed to getting those kids out of those juvie centers.
WBEZ's investigation shows the state has been leaving kids behind bars since at least 2011. Patrick Smith, WBEZ News.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is defending DCFS as well after the WBEZ report, but admits there are many challenges. Pritzker has long blamed systemic issues at DCFS that predated his administration. But as he said before, they're working on it.
You don't think that the budgets that we put together and the effort that's been put in, is designed to solve the problem? Of course it is.
Pritzker says the state has added about 100 more beds for kids with specialized needs, but more are needed. In the meantime, he says kids need to be kept where they'll be safe. Cook County data show last year the state left 84 kids in jail for an average of 53 days beyond their release date. Prosecutors say Chicago native and R&B superstar R. Kelly deserves at least 25 years behind bars for sexually abusing women and girls. They demanded the sentence yesterday in advance of his sentencing later this month. A New York City jury found Kelly, who's known for his 1996 anthem, I Believe I Can Fly, guilty of racketeering and multiple other counts last year at a sex trafficking trial that was seen as a signature moment in the Me Too movement. Kelly's lawyers have argued that he deserves only a maximum of about 17 years. Experts say more intense storms driven by climate change are boosting contamination risks for privately owned drinking water wells. While estimates vary, studies say roughly 53 million U.S. residents rely on private wells that draw groundwater. Floodwaters pick up bacteria and other contaminants that can seep into wells and cause illnesses. Tests have detected elevated levels of E. coli in some wells after Hurricane Harvey and other storms. Even ordinary rainfall can be a threat. Private wells are largely unregulated, and many owners don't regularly test their water. Scientists say regular sampling and simple maintenance can help protect those who drink well water. Still to come, we'll learn how call centers are preparing for a new mental health crisis line. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
In the 19th century British drama, Jamaica Inn, orphan Mary Yellen arrives to live with her aunt in Cornwall and quickly discovers all is not what it seems. She must resist being drawn into the inn's dangerous world of smuggling and other criminal activity. When she falls for the petty thief Jem Merlin, her morals become conflicted and she is uncertain who she can trust. You can stream this and other acclaimed period dramas as Friends of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
Starting tonight at 7 p.m., tune into WILL for live coverage of the House Committee's public hearings on the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. We will air those hearings live on AM 580, IllinoisNewsroom.org, and the WILL TV World Channel 12.3. Up next, a look at the latest in health policy news from Side Effects Public Media's partner, Tradeoffs. And a warning, this story mentions suicide.
A new mental health crisis line, 988, is set to go live across the country this July. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Tradeoffs. More than 50 million Americans struggle with mental illness. Fewer than half get treatment. 988 is meant to change that. A simple three-digit number to make it easy for people dealing with addiction, mental illness, or suicide to get help fast. With about a month before the new line launches, there are serious concerns about its readiness. Trade-Off's producer Ryan Levy has been following this story. Ryan, first, briefly explain how 988 is even gonna work.
So right now, Dan, there are over 200 call centers nationwide that are part of the 10-digit National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And so on July 16th, all of those centers will start answering 988 calls, as well as chats and texts. And researchers estimate that about 80% of calls will be dealt with on the phone, and the rest will require some kind of in-person response.
Now, you've spent the last few months focusing on the people who will actually be answering these 988 calls. What have you learned, Ryan?
Put simply, Dan, there's not enough of them. There's no official count, but based on my reporting, there are still hundreds of open positions nationwide. And just about every 988 person I talked with said hiring is their number one concern. Jennifer Battle, who runs the Lifeline and 988 for a large mental health agency in Houston, told me that she's already short-staffed. And that's before calls potentially quadruple in 988's first year.
The reality is that the staff that are already there doing this work, taking these calls, are having to bear too much of that. We need new people. We need them now.
So what are 988 centers doing to try to get more people hired?
Well, many of them are raising wages. Jennifer Battle was able to boost starting salaries at her agency from $42,000 to $51,000 a year. A lot of them are offering remote work options and hiring people from other cities or states. And because so many centers don't have the people they need, the federal government has delayed its big 988 awareness campaign until next year. But 988 is still going live, Dan. And without enough call takers, some folks in crisis will not get their calls answered. And that could be a life or death situation for them.
This is really high stakes stuff. Now, these 988 counselors, obviously, Ryan, are going to be taking some really intense calls from people who are very much hurting. What do we know about this workforce, aside from the fact that there are not enough of them?
Well, we didn't come across any research on 988 or Lifeline workers in particular, but we do have some evidence on 911 call takers. And that research shows that large percentages of them struggle with depression and physical pain, and about a quarter have symptoms of PTSD, which, Dan, that's equal to or even higher than the rates among police officers and firefighters.
Same or equal rate than the people on the scene. So what steps, Ryan, are these 988 centers taking to build a strong workforce to avoid ending up in the same boat as 911 call takers?
Well, we know that being properly trained is really important. So there's a new standardized training program that's set to roll out this fall. And centers are also taking steps to protect their staff's mental health, things like hosting regular debriefings at the end of shifts and hiring more supervisors to support the frontline staff.
Trade-Off's producer Ryan Levy. Thanks so much, Ryan.
No problem, Dan.
To hear more about how 988 is trying to avoid 911's workforce mistakes, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or text HOME to 741-741. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly sunny with a high of 80 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Patrick Smith, Alex Degman, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Emily Hayes. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.